the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I want to begin reading at verse 1, and please bear with me this morning. My voice is kind of ragged. I'm still fighting this flu thing that I had, but it's great to be in God's house this morning. I'm excited about what the Lord's laid on my heart today. Luke chapter 5, let's begin reading at verse 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Luke 5 and 1. And it came to pass that as the people were pressed upon him to hear by the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered in into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of let down your net one more time. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how we thank you today once again, Lord. We can't praise you enough for granting us the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, today, as you direct this church, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you'll just make me your mouthpiece, Lord, to speak your will and your way unto your people. Lord, let me communicate it clearly. Let me communicate it in a way that will bring you honor and glory. For Lord, I can do nothing except your Holy Spirit anoint me and the Spirit show up in power and demonstration. And Lord, I'm believing you around this altar service today that some real prayers are going to be answered, Lord, particularly in the realm of people's future and what you're going to have them doing. And Lord, I'll not fail to give, and we will not fail, to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Sergei Leclerc is known as one of the most evil criminals in the history of Canada. He was entered into a life of crime at 8 years of age when a group of boys asked him to stand watch for them while they shoplifted. And him being just a young man of 8 years of age, he didn't do a very good job of watching for them, and the police caught all of them. Under normal conditions, he just would have been taken to his parents or else held for a few hours in a detention center before being taken home. But Sergei Leclerc had been born to a mother who was a crack addict in an abandoned warehouse. There was nowhere for the authorities to take him. So they took him to a Catholic school for orphans, which at the time in Canada was renowned for housing the orphans. But unfortunately, it would be found out many years later, it became infamous for the acts of sexual abuse and cruelty that were inflicted on the children there. Sergei tells of how they would place him in a closet for discipline because he said he never wanted to go to chapel. And punishment was always swift and severe when you didn't want to go to chapel. He said they would put him in a dark closet in nothing but his shorts for days at a time, handing him a bucket and his meals to go to the bathroom and eat in a little closet that he could barely stand up and stretch out in. A little boy of 8 years old who had no mother and father, being born to a crack addict. And this began to, as it would any child, darken his heart. And he began to hate religion or anything to do with God. He was transferred at the age of 12 to another reformatory for boys because he had become too wild for this particular orphanage, the Catholic orphanage, to hold him any longer. And while he was incarcerated at the youth detention center in Canada, he come to find out he had a tremendous skill for organization. And he had great leadership qualities, and so much that he organized the prisoners in a crime ring while incarcerated in the youth detention center. At the age of 14, he got out and he began to use his abilities, his God-given gifts, to form one of the largest crime rings in the city of Toronto, Canada. They controlled, at the age of 15, the tender age of 15, Serge Leclerc controlled all of the alcohol and all of the drugs in the city of Toronto, Canada, and at 15 was its most feared criminal. He bragged that he paid $67,000 cash for his first home. He was instrumental in developing LSD in Canada, which would then come to the United States. He would recount that any whiskey dealer in Toronto had to get his whiskey from me. Finally, one day, he was caught again at the age of 16, and this time he was sent to do hard time in one of the strictest Canadian reformatories, and they were quite cruel to him there. He said that they would strip you naked in front of all the other boys and force you to hold up 2 5-pound buckets of sand until your arms dropped, and when you could no longer hold them and your arms dropped, they would beat you with a hockey stick, further solidifying the hatred in his heart. To one day he said, "Nobody's ever going to hurt me again." He took a pitchfork and honed it and stabbed one of the men and killed one of the guards who was ruefully treating him and abusing him. And now he served the next 5 years doing harder time. He was released again, and it wasn't long before on the streets of Toronto, his vaunted skills as a criminal were once again put into action, and he raised up another drug ring of methamphetamine. His meth lab was the biggest in the world, producing some $43 million worth, they say, of methamphetamine on a yearly basis. But finally, the law caught up with him again at the age of 21. And he was then sent to the roughest of the rough of Canadian penitentiaries and placed in solitary confinement. Every day a chaplain would walk by and ask him, "Serge, would you like to come to chapel this Sunday morning?" He said he would always cuss and spit at the chaplain, hated his very appearance. But the way the Canadian prison system is set up in solitary confinement, there were two cellmates, two cells side by side. You did everything with your cellmate. You ate with him. When you were kept in the cell 23 hours a day. But that 1 hour a day that you had outside of the cell, you had your brother or your twin and the cell next to you, and he was the only one you could have any contact with. He became quite close to the 19-year-old boy who was in the cell next to him, who had been incarcerated for robbing a pizza store to get some crack cocaine and some methamphetamine. And Serge became quite close to this 19-year-old, one of the few friends he said he had ever found in his life. He said, "I found somebody I finally thought I could really trust and love." But the trials and the difficulty of being incarcerated under those circumstances was too much for this 19-year-old friend of Serge's. And one night he ripped up his sheets and hung himself. Sergei was overwhelmed with guilt for this having happened, because his friend that had hung himself and Sergei himself knew that it was because of the drugs that Sergei had become so skillful at manufacturing that had got this young man who was his friend addicted and placed in prison in the first place. So at the age of 25, Sergei decided, I've had it all. There's nothing else for me to live for. I'm going to do what my friend did. I'm going to kill myself. It had been about 6 months since the chaplain had been by, because he'd given up going by Sergei's cell because of the way Sergei would always cuss and rant, and it sometimes even he said he would attempt to throw urine on the chaplain. But the Lord spoke to this chaplain's heart and told him, said, I want you to go one more time, and I want you to ask Sergei to come to chapel. Nervously, the chaplain walked by the cell and tentatively, knowing how Sergei had reacted to him in the past. And Sergei was contemplating that very night, taking his life and ending it all. And nervously, this chaplain called out to him, Sergei. And it was a voice he hadn't heard, like I said, for 6 months. And Sergei responded very differently this time. He said, yeah. He said, you the chaplain? He said, yes, Sergei, it's me. He said, why don't you come to chapel this Sunday morning? He said, it's peaceful there. And he said, nobody will stab you there. Nobody will do you any harm. He said, it'll do you good. And Sergei said, I don't understand what happened in my heart that day. But he said, I told him, I'll go. And he put off committing suicide. And that Sunday morning, the chaplain, who was not a skilled orator, nor a brilliant theologian, nor had a big TV ministry of any kind, just a simple little chaplaincy ministering to the prisoners in solitary confinement in this Canadian prison. He preached a simple gospel message of how only the blood of Jesus Christ can heal the wounded soul of a man. And the Holy Spirit took that message to Sergei's heart that Sunday morning. And he challenged God as he sat there in the pew, and he said, I have been treated mean my entire life, and I hate you for it. He said, I blame you for all the bad that's gone on in my life. But he said, if you have an inkling of the grace and the mercy that I heard this man speak about this morning, I challenge you, come into my life and change it. I'll give it all over to you. In his book called Untwisted, he would recount how he could not describe or verbalize what had transpired in his heart as he left service that morning. But he said, I walked out of there with a feeling like I'd never had before. He said, something had changed in my heart and life, and I knew it. He got back to his cell, having received a Bible that Sunday morning from the chaplain, and he began to read it. And he read the four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of the crucifixion of Christ and the events surrounding the crucifixion of Christ. And he said, the Holy Spirit took my life, and I saw it in the life of Christ. He said, I saw Jesus as a gang leader. I understood his leadership ability in taking a gang of men who were the outcasts of society and forming them into something that they could never be. He said, I identified with that. And he said, what struck me most, he said, I know the human spirit. He said, for every time I was incarcerated, every friend I had turned their back on me. I was just a meal ticket to them. I was just there to produce money and drugs for them. And when I couldn't do that, they had no use for me. He said, I could identify with the disciples when they left Christ and went into hiding for fear for their lives, because their source of provision, they thought, was now gone. But he said, when I read in the gospel how each and every one of them came back to Christ, with the exception, of course, of Judas Iscariot, and later would lay down their lives for him. He said, that's when my salvation really took hold, because I realized this: no human being will give their life for a lie. And he said, the Lord took me a little bit deeper in him, and I asked him, he said, for the first time ever, I saw that I was the problem. And I asked the Lord to cleanse my black heart in the precious blood of Christ, and that I would follow him all the days of my life. And he said, that day, the Lord reached down and truly saved my soul and changed my entire life. He said, the guards thought I'd gone crazy. The first thing he did, after praying through, he summoned the guards, and he began turning over all of the prison instruments and weapons that he had made in prison. Knives, are, you know, they're brilliant at fashioning, and prisoners are at fashioning tools and making weapons out of almost anything. That's why they have to watch them so closely. He said, the guard thought I'd lost my mind. He asked me, he said, what's wrong with you, sir? He said, nothing. I found Jesus Christ. And now God began to use him in that prison to witness to other prisoners as he began to preach the gospel. He came out of solitary confinement and became the assistant to the chaplain. And due to his exemplary behavior, for the next 3 years, they decided to give him a chance at parole. And before his parole, he applied to some 16 different Christian organizations, asking them, can I come to work for you? The state of Canada will subsidize my work. It won't cost you a thing. He had told them about his love for Christ and his dramatic conversion. And all 16 of them told him no. They said, you wouldn't fit in our organization. Undaunted, he told the chaplain, he said, God's got a work for me to do, and he'll open the door. One more time, time number 17. He applied to a group called Teen Challenge, run by Brother David Wilkerson in New York City. And they said, you're just the kind of man we're looking for. They said, we want you and we'll be glad to take you. And he was used mightily in Teen Challenge in New York City, witnessing and preaching to the toughs. But he could only stay for a few months at a time due to the, immigration laws, because he had a prison record in Canada. So he could only stay, his visa would only be renewed for a couple of months at a time in the U.S. So finally, one day back in Canada, he went to his parole officer who was a Christian himself and had seen how God was using him and how God had transformed this man's life. And Sergei said, sir, I want to apply for a pardon from the Canadian government. Well, the parole officer laughed at him. He said, Sergei, he says, you're a third-degree felon, and in Canada, that's the highest degree of felony that you can have on your record. He said, you've done all this hard time. He said, there is no way the Canadian government will ever pardon you. He said, the Lord is telling me to apply for it. So he went, and he applied for it. At first, they flat rejected him. He applied again. But this time, one of the prison guards, who had witnessed his transformation and was one to the Lord himself under Sergei's ministry, got behind it and started pushing, started getting a letter writing campaign going to get this man pardoned so he could do his ministry worldwide without interference. It took about a year, all the letters written, but one day the letter came in the mail. And it says, Sergei Leclerc, the Canadian government is pleased to announce that you have a full and complete pardon, and every wrongdoing you have ever done is now expunged from your record. Praise God. And he was free to do ministry worldwide. Now look at some of the things that we mentioned in that story. It was one more time that chaplain decided to go, when time after time after time he had been rejected and mocked. But that chaplain heard from God, and one more time he went to Sergei. Sergei was turned down time and time and time again by Christian organizations. But one more time, he went and was accepted, and God opened the door for him. He was turned down several times for his parole, But he went one more time, and God, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, granted him a total and complete pardon. Church, I believe that's where God has us here at Crossway Community Church. I believe with all of my heart he is setting before us the challenge, will you go one more time? The night has been long. It's been a rough way, but it's been the way I've called you to go. And now I'm asking you one more time as we look at the Bible story that we read in Luke chapter 5. We see that John and Peter and the disciples who had run a fishing business were scrubbing their nets. That means they'd fished all night and they'd caught nothing. When the fishermen scrubbed their nets in that day, that's what it meant. We're done for the day. We're giving up. But Jesus comes walking by and says, "Excuse me, Peter, can I borrow your boat for a little bit?" And he says, "Launch out into the deep." He said, first, launch out a little ways. And Jesus preached and taught from the boat to the multitude that was there. So his voice would carry out over the waters like a natural microphone. And then at the conclusion of Jesus' teaching, he told Peter, he said, "Now, launch out into the deep for a draught." And they said, "Lord, we fished all night and we haven't caught nothing." He said, "Nevertheless, do it one more time. Go one more time." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It don't matter how many times you've been before. If God's saying go one more time, we better go one more time if we want to see a glorious move of His Spirit. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit is saying to Crossway Community Church. Go one more time. One more time with what I'm going to be giving you over the next few weeks. You and I take the gospel to our world and to everybody He gives us an opportunity to speak to. One more time, let down your net. Can I tell y'all something? Now, this may not be anything new or earth-shattering to you, and you may think, "Well, Pastor, I saw that years ago." Well, just indulge me for a moment because I never saw this. How often have you heard it said and mentioned, and I have 1,000 times, by people in the church who want to go out and win souls? Well, you got to have some bait. How many times has anybody heard that before? Nobody. Nobody ever heard that before. When you're going, "My Kaz, okay." Well, that's a shock. For years I heard people say that. "Well, bless God, if we're going to go fishing, Jesus has called us to be fishermen, you got to have some bait." And people go into every kind of foolishness in the world to try to get people to come to Jesus. I pastored one man one time who every week he had a new scheme. It was a card game, a racetrack, a jumping jack game, every kind of foolishness in the world he came up with. "Well, you got to have bait." Here's what I saw for the first time in this story. When Jesus told them and make them fishers of men, they didn't use bait in those days. They used nets. They would just cast the net out. They used no bait. What's your point in all this, Pastor? What's the earth-shattering point? Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except my Father draw him." The net represents the power of the Holy Ghost in drawing men to Christ. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me." Hallelujah. What God is calling Crossway Community Church to do is to simply lift up Jesus. We don't need any bait. We have the command of the King to let down the net one more time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so sick of hearing the church, the so-called church, come up with scheme after scheme to try and get them in. This is simple, but it's sublime because it's God's way. He says, "Go and let down the net." What's that, the modern vernacular to that for us? It's simply go and tell them what Jesus Christ has done for us. Go and tell them about the cross of Christ. Let down the net one more time. You may have family members, you may have loved ones, you may have friends who you've tried to witness to for years. The Holy Ghost is saying this morning, let down the net one more time. One more time, go to them If God gives you the opportunity and you'll not tell them this glorious gospel one more time, what if that chaplain had never gone to Serge Leclerc? You know what Serge Leclerc does today? He is the equivalent of a U.S. senator in the Canadian government. That's where God took him to. Off of the streets, being born to a crack addict in a warehouse, being woefully abused most of his life, being a hardened criminal most of his life. He was transformed by the power of God, and God had a work for him to do. The Lord is saying to us, let down the net one more time. One more time go. One more time go. Maybe. And I wish I knew for sure, but I know the Lord's telling us to go. But if we'll do what I believe the Holy Spirit set before us, I believe we're going to see a drought. Not of fish, but of people. Transformed by the power of God. Church, we got the right message. We got the right message. We've got to get it out there, though. And the way it was transmitted in biblical times, without the use of radio, TV, written word, was mouth to mouth. One person at a time hearing Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost, Jesus coming again. And I believe this message right here, what I'm preaching to you, what I believe with all of my heart, God is asking Crossway Community Church to do. I believe with all of my heart it is God's method. Not man's method, but God's method to fill this church with lost and dying people, transformed by the power of God. There are Serge Leclercs out there by the hundreds, church, by the hundreds. And God may very well, I believe he's going to send some across your path and my path. And when he does, we've got to let down the net one more time. We've got to let down the net one more time. One more time, we got to tell them the gospel that we have been so privileged to sit under and hear and be enlightened by. The Holy Spirit's challenging this church right now to really become personal soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't do it, God's going to find somebody who will. It's like Abraham Lincoln said, my concern is not to sit down and wonder whose side we're on. My concern is to make sure we're on God's side. And I compare what I've been delivering to this church the last few weeks. It's so revolutionary to my heart. It was just like when I received the message of the cross. I know it's nothing earth-shattering, and I know it's very simple. But it's God's plan for this church to reach the lost with the message of the cross. And he's saying to us, let down your net one more time. And I believe, I really do, that he'll give us a drought. And I'm not talking about in an organized way, going out in the community. I'm talking about lifestyle evangelism, personal witnessing, when God gives you the opportunity. He's saying to us, let down the net one more time. And they did. And they got so much fish. And notice what happened. They didn't use one bit of bait. So if anybody ever tells you that junk again about, well, you got to have bait to catch them, tell them Jesus didn't use any bait. He didn't command the fishermen to use any bait. He said, let down your net. Preach the gospel is in effect what was being said is the parallel. Preach the gospel. That will draw them. Jesus being lifted up. They're such a powerful draw. Do you know what's so sad? The church, by and large, no longer believes in the power of the Holy Spirit anymore. In a recent Barna poll, 25% of evangelical Christians are all there is left that even believe the Holy Spirit is God. Most believe he's an impersonal force. Only 25% of the evangelical world even believes in the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity. No wonder the church goes down every road in the world trying to win souls, trying to get people to come to church. Because if you don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, you've got to turn to worldly methods. But what I submit to you today from the Word of God, and I believe I have the total and complete authority backing me up with the Word of God. If we'll go and tell the gospel when He gives us an opportunity, He will give us souls. He will let us see salvations like what happened to Serge Leclerc. And God Almighty is depending on us to transmit this glorious gospel now in this fashion, one-on-one, when He gives the opportunity. Trusting in the power. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have much talent. I don't have much ability. Who does? Who does among us? Because only the Holy Spirit can bring about a salvation. Please, please let Him speak that to our hearts this morning. Only the Holy Spirit can produce a salvation. Only the Holy Spirit can draw men to Christ. We cannot do it with our brilliant oratory, with our fancy programs, with our highly technological advanced churches. Those things do not draw the spirit of man. But the Holy Spirit of God will draw, and the Holy Spirit will flow, guaranteed, when the gospel of Christ and Him crucified is delivered. If you know enough to tell them what Jesus has done for you, if you know enough to tell them how He had to take our place on the cross, and that's why we all fall short of God's glory, that's why He had to take our place. But thank God He didn't stay on the cross. Hallelujah. We're not offering them Buddha or Muhammad or some tomb where there's still bones in it. Hallelujah. We're offering them a risen Savior who has all power to forgive sin, to cleanse, and to transform lives. And they're waiting to hear it. Keep letting down the net. If God tells you to keep going, I don't care how worrisome it may be to you personally, keep letting down the net. Keep letting down the net. See, the church no longer believes in the power of the Holy Spirit. It shows in the methodology that the church employs to try to win people. You read your Bible, you'll find the first century church grew one person at a time, with the exception of the day of Pentecost, where you had 3,000 come into the church that day. And that sounds, you know, we think of that today. Woo, 3,000, that's a mega church. That was less than 0.25% of the crowd that Peter preached to that day on the day of Pentecost, 3,000. That's how many there were congregated there for the feast of Pentecost. There weren't many, even though to us 3,000 sounds like a lot. But even after that great revival in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, you find it happening just a few people at a time as individual Christians, God directing them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Go to this person. Go to that person. Look at how He directed Philip to go to the Ethiopian eunuch. You see stories like that occurring time and time again. Look at how He told Peter to go to the house of Cornelius and preach to just probably 10 to 15 people. But yet mighty moves of God taking place and lives really being transformed. That's what I believe with all of my heart God's calling Crossway Community Church to do. And I believe with all of my heart, if we'll do it, we're going to see the same results they saw in the Bible. We'll see people transformed that seemed like there was no hope for. We'll see family members come into the kingdom who may be in our heart, though we love them and want to see them saved, we'd really written off years ago because of the power of this gospel. Church, there's one thing that I don't believe any of us have a full grasp on. The real power of this message of Christ and Him crucified. I don't believe any of us have an inkling of the power that's behind it when it's declared. And oh, if God would only open up our eyes when we're witnessing to somebody and the enemy's sitting there telling you, you're stupid. What you're telling them ain't no good. Look at them. They're not listening to you. My Lord, when you hear that, keep going. Because the enemy will only take the time to tell you that because the exact opposite is happening. The Holy Spirit's breaking through to that heart. The gospel's going forth. He hates it. He hates it. I was scared this week in prayer, I want to tell you. Because I'm believing in what I'm bringing to you over these next few weeks, that I believe the command of God. I really believe it. And I've walked with the Lord long enough to know now, nothing rattles hell's cage like the cross of Christ. Nothing stirs up hell's anger like you telling other people to go tell about the cross of Christ. Satan hates it. He knows the power that's in it. I dare say that he has a better grasp on the power of this gospel than any of us do. Because he has to sit weakly by every time a Sir J. Leclerc comes to Jesus Christ and let him go. Hallelujah. He knows the power that's in it. God, give us a revelation of the power of this simple gospel, that the power of the Holy Ghost will flow through as Christ is exalted. I say it's very simple, I know, and I know it sounds simplistic, but that's God's method for getting it done. Read the New Testament with me. Challenge me on this. If I'm wrong, I want to know it. I've searched it out myself as the Lord started speaking to me about this last month in Baton Rouge. Because before I preached it, I wanted to make sure I had the authority of God's word behind me, and I wasn't just up here puffing stuff at you all. Because to myself, when the Lord started showing it to me, this is what I want you to do. I'm like, well, Lord, that's so simple. Everybody could do it. And just that quick, the Holy Spirit answered me back, and he said, that's exactly why I'm telling you to do it this way. It's not going to wear nobody out. I'll give the opportunities. I'll send the people across their paths. Just turn their attention on delivering my gospel when I send the people to them. There's power in it, church. There's power in it. Such a power that our minds don't comprehend. I want to close now. I've got to hurry to close, and I'm not even halfway through. And I can't help it. If I'm boring you, too bad. This is what the Lord told me to preach. As long as you all know me. As long as I got heaven's amen, I'm happy. Every one of you all fall asleep, lay down in the pew on me. I don't care as long as he's listening and saying, go, boy, you're preaching what I told you to preach. I love you and I want you built up in the Lord, but I got to preach what he's telling me to preach. I've learned long ago, I've got to do that. I want to take you now to John 21 as we begin to close. We have the same basic scenario as we have in Luke chapter 5, except. These disciples have now walked with Jesus. Peter, James, and John have seen him transfigured in his glory before their very eyes on the Mount of Transfiguration. They've seen his miracles. They've seen the demonstration of his power. They've sat at his feet and heard the most wisest words ever spoken flow from his lips. But now they have also seen him crucified and placed in a tomb. And he has appeared to them one time prior to this text in Luke 21, after his resurrection. But it's probably been about 35 days since his last appearance to them. And I know, I can understand their consternation as they sat by the Sea of Tiberias. And they're wondering, what do we do now? We've seen him. We believe he's alive. But what do we do now? He told us if we'd follow him, we'd be fishers of men. And we left a very lucrative fishing business to go after him. Where are we now? I want you to, for sake of time, I'm not going to read it, but I want you to go home and read the 21st chapter of Luke, or 21st chapter of John, I'm sorry. Did I tell you Luke? John, 21st chapter of John, I'm sorry. He tells them, I will make you fishers of men. And now, here they sit by the Sea of Tiberias, not knowing what to do. And old Peter, you got to love him. You know, if you're a crude, unsociable, not very smart person like I am, you love Peter. You do. Because you see how God took him and all of his faults and his lack of talent, his lack of ability, and turned him into such a mighty man of God. So there's seven of them. John 21 tells us. James and John and Peter are there, and several other disciples who are left nameless are there. But there's seven of them. And Peter just stands up and says, I'm going to go fishing. Now, that wasn't a recreational thing like we would think of it today, where you get a rod and reel and get your bait and go out and throw it in. No. This was their livelihood. They'd been without jobs. Christ is gone now. They'd followed him. They'd left. They're very lucrative. If you study your Bible, you'll find they had a very lucrative fishing business going on. Peter, James, and John did. They were partners together. And they'd left it all. And Peter, in some disgust, says, I'm going to go back to fishing, guys. We've got to take care of our families. We've got to do something to produce some income. We love Christ. We believe he's alive. But what do we do? It's yet before the ascension. And the rest of them said, we'll go with you, Peter. And they launch out again to return to a life that has to them at this time seem so mundane based upon what they'd seen Jesus do when they walked with him. No doubt they still feel privileged to have had that time with the Master. But now it's mundane to them. We've got to go back to fishing, guys. It was great to see him raise the dead. It was great to see him open the blinded eyes. It was marvelous to see him feed the 5,000. It was glorious to see him transfigured. It was heartbreaking to see him die on the cross. But it was life-changing to know that he's alive. But we have to go on living. We've got to make a living for ourselves. So they go back to the only thing they know, fishing. I've got a theory here, and it's a personal theory. For God to really use us in a big way, sometimes he's got to take us to the end of ourselves. That's what had happened to these guys. They'd reached the end of themselves. They didn't know what else to do. They loved the Lord. They believed he was alive. Their faith in him had not changed nor wavered, but reality's hitting home. And they fish all night long again and catch nothing. But then all of a sudden, morning's breaking. It had been a long, dark night. And a voice calls from the shore. Have you no meat? In other words, it was Jesus. They didn't know it. Have you no meat? If you study the Greek text, the word meat there really meant living, supporting yourself, surviving. Jesus was really asking them, you got no means to support yourself now, do you guys? And then he tells them, let down your net one more time. Only one of them responds, John, who I believe personally John knew it was the Lord. They let down their net one more time. And one more time, a school of fish came into that net. The Bible says, it names the number exactly, 153. That's significant. Why is it significant? Because it shows that every single soul is important to God. Every single one is important to God. That's what those fish represented. And all of a sudden, Peter, the big fisherman, looked on the shore and said, it's him. It's the Lord. And the Bible says he was naked. That don't mean he was stripped bare. It just means he didn't have on his outer garment. And he threw on that outer garment and went swimming to the Lord. The rest of them jumped in a boat. A smaller boat that was by the large fishing vessel and got to that shore as quick as they could. And when they got there, Jesus was serving breakfast. He had them fish on an open fire. And they saw him. And the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us much more detail in the conversation. But I believe Jesus told them, you're never going to have to go back to fishing again, boys. I've got something far greater and far more mightier than you do. I called you to catch men. And my Spirit's going to be here with you to help you do that. I got to jump fast forward now to the book of Acts. It's the day of the ascension. The last words that Jesus would speak on this earth for thousands of years before he gloriously returns, he said, "Go ye in Jerusalem and tarry there and pray until you be endued with power from on high." He said that at the close of Luke. Now here in Acts at the ascension, he tells them in essence, don't depart Jerusalem until you're empowered with the Holy Spirit. Because you're going to be witnesses. What is a witness? That's just somebody who tells what happened. That's simply all a witness is. Just somebody who tells what happened. We're not responsible for saving men's souls. That's the work of God exclusively. But we are responsible for delivering this message to them. And he said, you're going to be witnesses for me. In Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. It ain't over, boys. I got something far more exciting for you than fish. One more time. One more time. I believe he's calling us Crossway to let down the net. But let it down maybe in a way we've never done before. Maybe we have become, all of us, too accustomed thinking we've got to have a big event or something like that tied to it. And I thank God for failure. Because it's in the times that I fail when it's driven me to say, okay, Lord, where did I go wrong? Where did we miss it? And I'm sharing this with you now, church. Michelle, God love her heart. Michelle, I know God gave you that burden to go downtown the way we were doing. And don't feel bad over that. Because we didn't see much success at it. I believe the Lord had to teach us all something. Because as I shared with you last week, that went deeper than me, than I believe anybody knew. And I was crying out to God, God, we've done something wrong here. Because I believe your word. I believe there are souls out there waiting to hear this. What are we doing wrong? We, like the disciples, they'd worked hard. They'd fished all night, but yet they'd caught nothing. They just needed the direct word of the Lord. And he told them precisely in Luke 5, let down your net on the other side of the boat, boys. A precise and exact command of Christ. Judge what I'm telling you. I don't say it lightly. I believe what I've been delivering to you about personal evangelism and personal witnessing is the Holy Spirit saying to Crossway Community Church, here's how I want you to fish for them. You don't need bait. I'm the bait. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And Jesus said, no man can come to God except the Father draw him. And of course, Jesus was speaking there of the power of the Holy Spirit drawing men. The Holy Spirit will always flow whenever there is a correct presentation of the gospel of Christ. Guaranteed. I don't care how weak, how feeble, what poor grammar and English might be used, or how brilliant or dull the intellect of the individual delivering the message. If it's delivered correctly, there's such power in it. And the Holy Ghost will flow through that. And as Jesus is lifted up, and that's what sharing the gospel is. As I preached to you last week, family's the hardest person in the world to witness to because they know what scoundrels all of us are. And the first thing they'll do to you when you start witnessing to them, yeah, but I remember when you stole that quarter from me when we were in eighth grade and you call yourself a Christian. See, what they try to do is shift the focus off of Christ onto you. And for far too long, because of a lack of the understanding of the gospel, I believe, on our part in the church, we just hunker right down, well, yeah, we know you're right. I am sorry, no good. I just got to take it. No, you don't. You come back and you answer them with, yes, but I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. My sins are under his blood. It is his righteousness. It is his holiness we're discussing. Not mine. Not mine. We're talking about him. Pull them right back around to Christ. Don't let them beat you into submission. That's what he's calling us to do. If I've ever told you anything as pastor, I'm certain of it. It's what I've been preaching you the last 2 weeks. I'm going to preach it till he says quit. He's calling us to let down the net one more time, maybe in a way we've never done before. But I believe it's his specific command to Crossway Community Church. I'm going to send them. Here's what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to us. I'm going to send the sinners across your path. And you'll know, you won't have to wonder, well, has the Lord given me an opportunity to tell this person the gospel? You're going to know because the Holy Spirit's in you, and he's going to speak to your heart and say, yeah, tell him. Yeah, tell him. This is your chance. Tell him. And in the coming weeks, I'm going to do my best, as God will enable me, to equip everybody and make them confident in sharing this gospel one-on-one. It may be a new way. It's really nothing new. It might be new to us. But I believe this is God's specific command to us to one more time. We've tried a lot of things. Good things, very well-meaning. Outreaches, dinners, potlucks, you name it. We've been a little bit guilty of it too, even here at Crossway. But now I believe the Holy Spirit is calling to us one more time. One more time, let down your net this way. Let down your net this way and watch what I'll do. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Church, I feel the Holy Ghost all over me now. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. With my heart, God's given me the gift of faith for this thing. He really has. He had to. It's not even a question of my heart of if it's going to happen, just when and how many are really going to do it. But Jesus told him before he left earth, get baptized in the Holy Spirit before you go out and try and be an effective witness for me. I'm paraphrasing his statement, but that's in effect what he said. Don't try and go out and do anything for me without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. This altar service today, I'm asking the Lord, and I've been praying to him all week this way, baptize our entire body afresh and anew in the Holy Spirit, Lord, to prepare us for what you're calling us to do. And he won't refuse that. He's calling us to do this just like he called the disciples. There is no difference, church, between us and them. No difference at all. He's saying to us, I'm calling you to do this. I'm calling you to be witnesses. Don't try and do it without the power of my Spirit, though. I'm talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. There are many evidences a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit afterwards. But there is a tremendous, intimate, powerful event when a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit and they speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Some might be dry this morning. It's been a long time since the Holy Spirit's flowed through you. And you just spoke freely in an unknown tongue. That recharges our spiritual batteries. That's what Isaiah 28:11 was saying. This is the rest and this is the refreshing. Wherewith with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto this people. Here's the rest. Here's the refreshing. We need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit at Crossway Community Church. Because of what he's calling us to do. It can't be done outside of his Holy Spirit. And secondly, it can be done. Judge what I'm telling you. Go to your words. Call me. If I'm off base in any way, you know, you don't necessarily have to grab me out in the foyer and because I'm pretty sick today. I can't wait to get home. I'll be flat honest with you. It's only the me feeling the heartfelt desire to deliver this message is why I'm here today. But call me sometime through the week and say, Pastor, I don't know. But give me scripture. Just don't say, well, I feel. I don't really care what you feel. I want to know what God says. And feel free to challenge me on that. I want to know. I believe I've heard from God for this church. And he's asking us, will you do this? Will you do this? This is my way. One more time. Will you let down the net now the way I'm telling you to let it down? And I'll give you a drought. Praise God. Would you stand to your feet? I believe with all of my heart there are Serge Leclercs sitting right here in Springfield, Ohio. Their lives have been a living hell. And maybe everybody who's tried to witness to them, and we're going to get this too, as we. But that's why I say make sure it's God giving you the opportunity. Don't be obnoxious and just wait in on somebody. If they come to you complaining about an experience in their life or their heart being broken or the difficult time they're having, that's God giving you an opportunity to share the gospel with them. If they're coming to you with some hurt, if they're coming to you with some sin problem, that's God giving you a chance to share the gospel with them. I believe there's Serge Leclercs right here in Springfield that you and I are going to be held accountable for when God sends them across our path. And I'm like, Lord, don't let us be slothful. Let us be able to communicate the glorious faith we possess, because it's the only hope they have. That chaplain that day, Serge Leclerc, was saved and transformed. As I said, nobody even knows the guy's name except Jesus Christ. Serge didn't even mention his name as I read the story of his life. I'm sure he remembers him, but he never mentioned his name. Maybe the pastor wanted to stay anonymous. God give us more pastors and men of God that want to stay anonymous in the world. Just as long as they know it's enough for them that Jesus knows who I am. I believe the challenge is set before us, Crossway. I'm going to ask everybody who will now, as I look out over the crowd, I believe everybody here knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar with an expectant heart today, asking with a heart, asking God, Lord, rebaptize me in the Holy Spirit again. There's always more, church, for us. Maybe what you got 20 years ago when you were baptized, you spoke in tongues, maybe you've never done it since. That's not God's way. That's not God's plan. His plan is for us to be in communion with Him through the agency of the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to do what He's calling us to do. We'll never do it outside of the person of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask everybody who would you come and present yourselves at the altar of God? And Michelle, thank you so much. I know I've kept you playing a long time. God bless your heart. One of God's choicest servants sitting over here behind the piano. Yes, Lord, let it rain. Let it rain on us today, Lord, the rain of your Spirit. As we stand here, I want to pray. And if you want it, I want you to ask Him. Lord, rebaptize me in the Holy Spirit. I know I feel theologically that's not the correct way to say it, but it's the only way I've got right now. I'll go home and study, and I'll come up with the Lord to help me to say it better. But Lord, give me a refilling of your Spirit around this altar this morning. Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you lift your hands? I'm asking you, Lord. We're presenting ourselves, Lord, knowing we're flawed, knowing we don't have a lot of talent or ability, Lord. We have none, really, that can win people to you. But Lord, you've called us. You've called us, and I'm asking you, Lord, first, refill Crossway Community Church with the power of your Holy Spirit. Let the rain of the blessed Holy Spirit fall on dry ground right now in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, all over this sanctuary, I pray that people who that for years have not prayed in their prayer language that you gave them when they were baptized will begin to feel right now the flow of the Holy Ghost in their soul, and they'll just let go in freedom in the Holy Spirit and begin to speak the praises of God in an unknown tongue. All over this altar, Lord, this entire church, refill us with the Holy Spirit. Refill us with the Holy Spirit, Lord. And Lord, we're not asking you just so we can talk in tongues. We're asking you for the power of the Holy Ghost to be effective witnesses for you. To take this gospel, Lord, to everyone you send across our path. We're letting down our net one more time, Lord, in a way we've never done before. Lord God, use us. Use us, Lord. We present all we've got to give you, Lord, is ourselves. Use this church, Lord. Give a burden for souls in every heart like we've never known before. And Lord, with that burden, give us the supernatural ability of your Spirit to communicate this glorious gospel to everyone you send across our path. Lord, we want a drought. We want a drought. We're asking for souls. And Lord, I'm asking you to repel the attacks of the enemy that are bound to come because of what we're doing. Lord, we know he can't overtake us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But give us this burden for souls, Lord, and refill us with your Holy Spirit. We look to the power of the Spirit, not to events, not to what we can plan. We are simply going to exalt Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done for us on the cross. Lord, let us see there's 100,000s of Sergei Leclercs out there. And you're going to send some. We're not responsible for all of them. But the ones you send across our paths into our world, we are responsible for. Oh, God, thank you for the drought that I believe is coming. Not a drought of dryness, but a drought of souls, Lord, being won to the kingdom. Coming to the foot of the cross where they'll find deliverance, they'll find healing, they'll find a Savior that loves them. And it will all be to the glory of Jesus Christ. We're not asking you to glorify this church. We're not asking you to glorify us as individuals. I'm asking you to glorify your name through us, Lord Jesus. I'm asking you to glorify your name through us, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Dennis, Ned, and Jeremy, would you all come here? I want to pray for you guys. Is there anybody else? I know there's some. I hope I got the word out to everybody. This Thursday, the 27th, they're having Wright-Patt Air Force Base. There are some 3,000 jobs, I'm told, coming to Wright-Patt Air Force Base. And I know these guys in particular got their resumes ready, and they're going to this recruiting deal the government's having over at the Nutter Center. And I want to pray for them. I know that, and I want to include Mark in this. I know he can't be with us today, but if there's anybody else, you're going to this and you want prayer, I don't want to leave anybody out. But I believe God wants to give these people good jobs. I really do. I really do. Jobs they can base a career on. And remember Mark in this prayer too, because these are good jobs. I mean, I work for the government. I know their benefits. They're a great place to work. And for these young men and for Ned and Dennis who are headed into the more mature years of their life and need good jobs, I believe God's going to give them something. I really do. Because he instructed me today at the close of service to specifically pray for everybody who was going over there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer then. Father, in the name of Jesus, Ned needs one of these jobs, Lord, and he's your servant. And I'm believing you to give him one, Lord. One that will be perfectly suited to his knowledge, skills, and abilities in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm believing you for Jeremy, Lord. He needs a job he can base a career on and raise his family with, Lord. He's about to have one more little one, Lord. Father, he needs good health insurance. Lord, I just pray that you'll anoint these men as they go over there, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking for a special anointing of God to be placed on them to make their resumes stand out, to make their lives stand out, Lord. When they go to this seminar in the name of Jesus, and I'm believing you, this church is believing you, Lord, to give them all a very good job. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I believe it's done right now. I do. Lord, you worked it out for me, Lord, when my situation seemed hopeless. And I've got a lot of faith for these men, Lord. And I pray for Mark today, too, in the name of Jesus. That you would do the same for him, Lord Jesus. Open up avenues of good jobs, Lord. Give them one, Lord. Lord, you're higher than any authority at Wright-Patt Air Force Base. And Lord, we're believing you to give them good jobs over there. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Now, could I have all the kids, Austin, not the kids, but the teens and kids that are starting school, Tara, Amanda, Shelby, would you all come up? I don't know. Some of you already started, maybe. I don't know. Nobody. I know over in Beaver Creek it starts on Tuesday. I want to have prayer for them before school starts this year. Will Keon be starting this year? I thought he would. Let's everybody stretch forth your hand and gather around them. Let's pray for them. So, yeah, let's let all these little ones go first. Stretch forth your hand toward them. Father, in the name of Jesus, as this new school year starts, all these children at this altar are special, Lord, because they've been raised in homes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we bless them in the name of Jesus and pray your protection around their little lives, Lord Jesus, as they enter into a godless system, Lord. And I hate to say that, Lord, but most of the schools nowadays, just about all of them in some form, would like to not have you in them. But, Lord, these children are lights in a dark world. They've been set aside, Lord, for your kingdom and for your purpose. And we bless them in the name of Jesus. Guard them and protect them, Lord. Keep their minds open unto Jesus Christ. Not the ways of man, but unto Jesus Christ. Bless them, Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name throughout this school year. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Now, would you guys just move aside and let the teens come up, please? Thank you. Chris and Jessica, would you all come on up here and lay hands on them? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Guys, you're a little bit older than those little kids we just prayed for. And God's got his hand on all your lives. I know it. I see it. This whole church sees it. Every last one of you all are very special to God. And you have special gifts and abilities and talents that he's going to use. And this world would love to rob them. Satan would love to lead you down a path to where you'd give your talents over to him and to the world. Don't ever do it. I'm here to tell you, he's got nothing to offer you. This world has nothing to offer you. Keep walking with Jesus. Keep your faith in Christ and what he did for you on the cross. Let's pray for him. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, now we come. And Lord, as this bunch, who are in their teens, all of them, Lord. Father, their minds are going to be attacked by Satan in ways that have never been, they've experienced before. But Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit is sufficient to repel those attacks. In the name of Jesus today. Encircle them with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Encircle them. Build a hedge of protection around them, Lord. As we, in the name of Jesus today, sanctify their lives, their talents and abilities under the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, set them apart for your service. And Lord, baptize them in your Holy Spirit afresh and anew. Refill them, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And keep them throughout this year and all of their lives, Lord. Keep us sensitive as a church, Lord, to what you've got for them to do. And Lord, let us build them up. Let us build them up in the Lord Jesus Christ and in their most holy faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for being in God's house this morning. I know the last two messages I preached, and I've got several more I believe the Lord's given me along this same vein. I believe with all of my heart, this is His way for Crossway Community Church. This is His way of telling us specifically, here's how I want you to let down your net. See, if the disciples, they were so close to the will of God and they'd worked all night long and had caught nothing. But when He said, they gave that specific word and said, here's where I want you guys to fish, right on the other side of the boat. Let down your net on that side and watch what I'll do. I believe that's what He's saying to us with all of my heart. Hallelujah. Mike, I'm going to ask you if you would come dismiss us in prayer. Are you going? Okay. Okay. Okay, come on. Y'all just stretch forth your hand to water. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, at this critical time in this church's history, Ravon and I now of all times want to be in Your will perfectly, Lord, because of what You're leading us to do. And Lord, I just pray You'll give Ravonna wisdom on what You would have her to do. And Lord, we just believe You to touch her in every way and give her the wisdom she needs to know clearly Your perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Guys, keep me in prayer. I've had some kind of virus ever since Wednesday. I was off work Thursday and Friday. And again, I thank Brother Paul for filling in on such short notice. I just ain't kicking it. You may have looked at me this morning and think, well, Pastor, you couldn't tell there's a thing wrong with you. I'm feeling pretty rough, so keep me in your prayers. I don't know why this thing ain't going away, but it's just not. And just keep me in your prayers. I'm going to get out here in a hurry. I don't want to pass this on to anybody else. So I think we're just going to get on home so I can just lay down and lie before the Lord this afternoon. But I love y'all. God bless you. And Mike, go ahead and dismiss him in prayer.